Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by the Audio Information Network of Colorado, dedicated to providing accessible content for all. Find us at aincolorado.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals with barriers to print. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine. My name is Jason Consul. This is week two of the February 2024 Model Railroader magazine. This week, we will be reading from the following articles: News and Reviews, A Storm Comes to Palouse, and On Operation. This is the News and Reviews section. Atlas Commemorative Locomotive Unveiled. As mentioned last month, Atlas Model Railroad Company partnered with New Jersey Transit to wrap a prototype locomotive to commemorate Atlas's 100th anniversary. New Jersey Transit ALP-45DP number 4503, with its brand new paint scheme in the form of a wrap, was placed into service on NJT's Raritan Valley Line on November 17, 2023. An official unveiling and press event was held in New Jersey's Newark Penn Station later in the month. Atlas Company officers, employees, and NJT officials were present for the ceremony. A photography contest was also held in conjunction with the release of the prototype locomotive on NJT rails. Neither party has mentioned how long the wrap will stay on the locomotive. Atlas announced HO and N-scale models of the commemorative ALP-45DP locomotive and two Bombardier multi-level passenger cars, decorated in special centennial paint schemes. The Founders Car multi-level trailer features the years that Atlas has been in operation, as well as the names of founders Stephen J. Chaffin Sr. and Stephen J. Chaffin Jr. The cab car is adorned in a scheme which thanks the company's loyal customers, while the toilet car features a cartoon from Stephen J. Chaffin Jr.'s collection. The locomotives are available individually. However, the cab car and trailers are only available in three packs. For more information on the prototype locomotive and commemorative models, visit shop.atlasrr.com. Alco 4884 Steam Locomotive. This N-scale model of the Big Boy steam locomotive is available from Cato, USA, decorated as Union Pacific number 4014 to match the 2021 Excursion Tour appearance. The ready-to-run locomotive features two motors with brass flywheels and can negotiate curves with a radius as tight as 11 inches. A tinted light-emitting diode headlight is mounted on the deck, which turns with the front of the locomotive. Many separately applied details are featured on the model. The direct current model is available for $399, while versions with DCC are $499. The locomotive with both DCC and sound retails for $599. Cato, USA, 847-781-9500 or catousa.com. HO scale locomotives. Alco RS3 Phase 1 and 3 diesel locomotives. Phase 1, Penn Central, Boston and Maine, Delaware and Hudson, Delaware, Lackawanna and Western, Great Northern, Louisville and Nashville, New York, New Haven and Hartford, New York Central, Providence and Worcester, Reading Company, Rock Island, and Southern Railway. Phase 3, Interstate, Maine Central, and Pennsylvania Railroad. Direct current model, $219.95, with DCC and sound, $319.95. Bowser Manufacturing Company Incorporated, 570-368-2373, or bowser-trains.com. Electromotive Division SW9 Diesel Locomotive. Erie, Lackawanna, Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe, Boston and Maine, Canadian National, Canadian Pacific, Illinois Central, Louisville and Nashville, New York Central, and Union Pacific. 4 road numbers per scheme, also available painted red and yellow, but unlettered. Detailed cab interior. See-through etched metal parts, road-specific details, light-emitting diode lighting, including operating beacons or flashing lights where appropriate. MoPower capacitor included. Direct current model, $239.95. With DCC and sound, $349.95. Rapido Trains Incorporated, 905-474-3314 or rapidotrains.com. HO Scale. Cripple Creek Oil and Gas. This HO Scale model, for $29.99, features a motorized beam pump with a rotating crank and counterbalance weight, a weathered shed, 2 figures, and Jack the German Shepherd. The base has concrete and gravel textures. The model measures 3 inches by 4.25 inches by 4 5/8 inches at full arm extension and requires a 4.5-volt power supply sold separately. Menards Incorporated, menards.com/trains. HO Scale Freight Cars. Freight Car America 100-ton bulkhead flat car. Canadian National with Duluth, Winnipeg, and Pacific reporting marks in 12 road numbers and International Railcar Services Incorporated in 13 numbers. Also available painted mineral red with data only. Injection molded plastic and die cast metal construction. Aurora Janney plastic knuckle coupler without trip pins. Trucks with rotating bearing caps. Plastic pipe load available separately. $51.10, Otter Valley Railroad, 877-885-7245, or ovrtrains.com. Pennsylvania Railroad F-30 Series Flat Cars. F-30A Camp and Maintenance of Way Cars, Norfolk Southern and Conrail, F-30 General Service Car, Lehigh Valley, Penn Central, and Pennsylvania Railroad. F-30D piggyback car with trailer load, TTX and PRR, F-30D tie service car with concrete tie load, Burlington Northern and Burlington Northern Santa Fe. Multiple road numbers available per scheme, multiple undecorated versions also available, die cast metal chassis, prototype specific trucks with turned metal wheels, cars without load, single for $54.95 or 6-pack for $329.70. With tie load, single for $64.95 or 6-pack for $389.70. Camp cars, single for $69.95, 3-pack for $199.95 or 6-pack for $399.95. With trailer load, single, $79.95, or 6-pack for $479.70. Rapido Trains Incorporated, 905-474-3314, or rapidotrains.com. Trenton Works, 6,348 cubic foot capacity boxcar. Canadian National. Multiple road numbers available. Prototype-specific hand brake styles and housings, brake platforms, and running boards. Full underbody detail. Single car, $64.95, or 6-pack for $389.70. Rapido Trains Incorporated, 905-474-3314, or rapidotrains.com. HO Scale Passenger Equipment. CAF Viewliner 2 Baggage Car, Amtrak, 2 road numbers available. Detailed trucks with rotating bearing caps and shock absorber construction. Optional kinematic couplers included, $87. Kata USA Incorporated, 847-781-9500 or katausa.com. Pullman Standard Day-Night Coach, Northern Pacific with or without Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy reporting marks. Multiple road numbers per scheme, multicolor interior, fully detailed interior configuration, era-specific trucks and skirt, interior light-emitting diode lighting, conditional release, $129.95, Rapido Trains Incorporated, 905-474-3314, or rapidotrains.com. N-scale freight cars. Pennsylvania Railroad Class G26 Mill Gondola, Lehigh Valley, Norfolk and Western, Penn Central, and Pennsylvania Railroad. Multiple road numbers per scheme. 12 possible model variations, 3 body variations, prototypical brake gear with ratchet or Ajax brake wheel as appropriate. Dahlman or National B1 truck frames, $37.25. Eastern Seaboard Models, ESMC.com. Pullman Standard 4427 Covered Hopper. Northern Pacific, Cargill, Farmar Company, Gold Kist, Milwaukee Road, PV Producers, Rock Island, and West Central. 3 to 6 road numbers per scheme, photo-etched stainless steel running boards, 100-ton ASF trucks. Exact rail line, $34.99. Scale trains, 844-987-2467 or scaletrains.com. A storm comes to Palouse. Agriculture is the focus of this bustling three-railroad town. By Mike O'Connell, photos by the author. Welcome back to my Proto 48 Pacific Railway and Navigation Company model railroad, first featured in the September 2022 Model Railroader. This time, we're in Palouse, Washington, a small farm town in the eastern part of the state that's served by the Great Northern, Northern Pacific, and PR&N. Palouse is the heart of a large agricultural region that's the 7th largest producer of wheat in the world. The state also leads the nation in growing apples and pears. In town, you'll find cold storage facilities, grain elevators, and all the supplies the surrounding farms need. It's late in the afternoon in the fall of 1955, and it's sunny at the moment, but there's a storm coming. Before that pleasant breeze from the northwest brings rain, allow me to take you on a tour of the town and how it operates. The heart of the town. The general store is the center of town, both geographically and figuratively. It does double duty as the post office, as well as giving the locals a place to get basic hardware, food, dry goods, and local baked goods. You'll often find a couple of local retirees spending their leisure time around the checkerboard on the front porch. The feed and grain store next door sells to smaller farmers. For egg producers, baby chicks are often on display after being shipped in via U.S. mail. J.E. Work Mining Supplies sells machinery to the silver mining districts of northern Idaho. It may seem out of place to sell mining supplies in a farming community, but the owner, Ed Work, does well with it. Ruth's Palouse Diner, which serves the best scratch-baked pies and cakes around, also makes claim to be the center of town. This is where the crews tie up and go for beans in the middle of their switching duties. Western National Bank is next door and finances most of the farmers in the Palouse region. An agricultural hub. Before arriving in Palouse, the crews switch the nearby East Spokane cattle pens and armor packing house. Today, all 10 cars have unloaded their cattle and are being washed down nearby. Cattle drovers from western Montana who ride the old 60-foot coach insist on clean cars prior to reloading. The PR&N dominates the stock trains in this region. Great Northern only serves the armor plant, which processes beef and pork. North Pacific Grain Growers Co-op in East Spokane can hold wheat, barley, and oats. Large co-op growers can store grains for over 36 months and wait for a better price in the Chicago markets. Northern Pacific serves a huge facility with 20 car service spots. Great Northern and Northern Pacific also share an interchange track nearby, with cars usually originating from Spokane. During the apple harvest season, the volume is so great that NP and GN stash cars on every available siding. Oftentimes in the fall, and if it's a good year, there could be as many as 1,000 cars hauling the harvest shipments. Cascade Fruit Shippers acts as a transfer service and ships Washington pears from this location. During the peak season, pears are only stored for 24 hours before they are shipped, usually to the east. Palouse Cold Storage stores Washington apples here for immediate shipping or under long-term deep refrigeration, waiting hopefully for the market price to go up. Ulber's Feed operates two mills in town. These are rather small facilities, but they are essential for business for the smaller farmers with smaller crops. And they can store a variety of special grains like rice, milled wheat, and barley. Stations and other structures. The Great Northern's Palouse Station was built in 1905 and is solely owned by GN. Once an electric line, the station is only used for way freights and interchanges. The agent here makes sure all goods are handled quickly and efficiently. Two first-class trains come through in each direction, one being the Oriental Limited. The Northern Pacific's Palouse Station is central to Main Street. Three passenger and three fast freight trains come through daily, east and west. The agent is in close contact with all the shippers and handles all the clerical duties for the railroad. Northern Pacific shares this Union Station with the PRNN. The Palouse Oil Fuel Facility is one of two sources for diesel, oil, and gasoline in town. The other is the Standard Oil Company facility, which is served by pipeline and truck but has no rail service. Palouse Farm Equipment Company provides machinery to area farms. Larger machines arrive on flat cars, unloading on a team track east of town. Farmers can expect fast turnarounds for equipment well before the harvest season. Modeling lessons. I have learned so many skills in this hobby. There are several techniques that I would like to explain in detail. Weathering my models to give them dimension, texture, and color is my favorite part of modeling. I weather in three stages. First, I tone down the initial color, for example, boxcar red, by applying acrylic washes of other reds, whites, and brown umber. I stay away from black because black is usually too dark for colors to come through in our indoor layout lighting. Second, I like to brush on acrylic washes of colors adjacent to the initial color, such as yellow or orange for our example red car. This brings the model alive. Finally, I apply a final wash with earth tones to simulate the dust, dirt, and grime the car would accumulate when it's out in the weather. Lighting is critical for me. I put a lot of time and energy into the layout's lighting. I once used fluorescent lights, but they caused an unpleasant glare and bleached out the colors in the layout. Fortunately, light-emitting diode, LED, lighting came along just in time. Primarily, I use PAR 20 and PAR 38 lamps for overall lighting. They are dimmable and work very well in track lights. You can even rig stage lighting gels to change the overall color of the lights. For example, Palouse is lit with cool LED lamps from the right and warmer LED lamps from the left. This gives the scene a nice feeling of depth with vivid colors. My previous article, One Night in Spokane, September 2022, shows more examples of my use of lighting for dramatic effect. I run the layout with digital command control, so the wiring is not too complicated. But as I get older, I realized I didn't want to duck under the layout to troubleshoot or repair wiring. So we figured out a way to bring the wires to the front of the layout and create a cover of removable 1x6 medium density fiberboard, MDF. Wires are not joined under the layout, only at the front. I also make sure everything is tagged so I know what's going where and how it gets there. My last lesson concerns people, big and small. One thing I learned is how important it is to put miniature people on the layout. I thought the empty look would work, but having figures on the layout gives it life and purpose. There are so many 3D miniature figures coming to the market that it's possible to find almost any figure you might want. More important, though, are the people I have met through this hobby. When I started building the model railroad, I thought I could do it all by myself, letting my ego get in the way. Boy, was I wrong. Throughout the years, I have met many wonderful people who have offered to help me on the layout. Most of them turned out to be more talented and smarter than me. These people have become lifelong friends. In the layout room, I have a tribute wall full of their pictures. Meet Mike O'Connell. Mike is an avid photographer whose love of railroad history and architecture led him to found Chooch Enterprises, a supplier of model railroad details and scenery products. Now retired, Mike lives in Maple Valley, Washington, with his wife Jean. They have 4 children and 4 grandchildren. On Operation, by Jerry Zizek. 2 Tower Treasures. 3P3XO-3, barked the tower director, words rising above telegraph chatter and teletype clatter in the busy room. Leverman moved along the interlocking machine, operating levers that controlled the switches and signals to line the route. Visitors can try this today at a former Pennsylvania Railroad signal tower in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, included in the National Register of Historic Places. The PRR built Harris Tower in 1930 to serve the west end of the city's passenger station. After the road completed electrification of its lines east of Harrisburg in 1938, GG1s ruled under the wire while steam sped traffic to and from the west. The tower saw hundreds of movements every day from these engine changes, switching moves to combine or separate New York and Washington sections and freights. The Harrisburg chapter of the National Railway Historical Society acquired the tower in 1992. Volunteers recreated activity at the tower based on 1943 schedules and opened it to the public in 2008. All of the tower's equipment has been restored to working condition, making Harris a hands-on interactive exhibit. Union switch and signal supplied the interlocking machine, a 113-lever Model 14, which operates 87 signals and 106 switches in the tower's territory, 4 to 16 tracks wide. A model board is a schematic marked with tracks and their designations, switch and signal locations, and track occupancy lamps. The machine and its model board take up most of the tower's 37-foot length. The exhibit's computer program simulates movements through this trackage, trains appearing on the model board at appropriate times. Visitors move levers to route the trains as directed under the guidance of museum docents. Following 3P3XO-3 with Omaha makes it as mysterious as a Peyton Manning play call, but it's simpler than it sounds. The route begins with 3P, a yard track. It continues over track 3X, passes through location O, and ends on track 3 in the station. Visitors throw the levers needed in proper sequence, and the model board's occupancy lamps show the train's progress. PRR's levermen were so well practiced during the tower's heyday that their hands flew over the levers. The Sono Switch Tower Museum in Norwalk, Connecticut, built in 1896, offers another hands-on experience. It overlooks Metro North's 4-track main, originally New York, New Haven, and Hartford. Officially South Norwalk Signal Station SS-44, New Haven employees called it Norwalk, and Penn Central renamed it Burke. The tower closed in 1984 and became derelict until the Western Connecticut chapter, NRHS, founded the museum and opened it to the public in 2003. It has become a popular attraction in the city's trendy South Norwalk neighborhood. Its track arrangement made SS-44 a critical location. Here, the single-track Danbury Branch joins the main, and Norwalk's 4-track swing bridge lies on the main just to the east. Further, the branch was dark territory operated by timetable and train order and manual block rules. All this kept the operator busy without the benefit of additional staff that Harris Tower enjoyed. SS-44's 68-lever machine controlled 46 signals and 21 switches. It was an Armstrong plant with waist-high floor-mounted levers. Harris, by comparison, used short levers mounted on a console. Switches at Harris were operated pneumatically, connected to the levers by electrical relays. SS-44 required strong arming because it was purely mechanical, with levers connected to switches by weighty bell cranks and rods. Steve McAvoy honored SS-44 with his The Classic Railway Signal Tower, hailed by renowned Bill Withhune as the best book, bar none, about the subject. Steve was modest when I asked what inspired the book, but his record speaks. Childhood visits to New York City's subway towers led to a railroad career of almost 60 years that began as a New Haven operator, including time at Norwalk. Harris and Sono are each worth a visit, if only by internet search. Their displays bring this lesser-known aspect of railroading to life, worthwhile whether or not you catch the itch to build a tower into your operation.
You've been listening to The Model Railroader, brought to you by Trains.com, that's TRANES.com, in collaboration with the Audio Information Network of Colorado. If you enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at aincolorado.org, where you can find more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to connect with us, feel free to give us a call at 303-786-7777. Thank you for listening.